Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
My college student is home. Hey, my college student is home. Oh, my gosh. I was asleep last night. It was probably 1 o'clock in the morning, and I got a tap on the shoulder. And I thought Denzel's come for me. He's here. But I woke up and it was Andrew. Not as good as Denzel, but my son's home for the holidays. So for all your parents out there who their college student has come home with baskets full of dirty laundry and lots of love, let's enjoy them over the next couple of weeks until they head back for that spring semester. I was so excited to see my son, and I've already got him running errands. Yeah, I was just trying to figure out how am I going to go get some bananas and eggs. You know, and then I was like, okay, I don't have enough time to run up to the Hy-Vee during the commercial break, even at the top of the hour, but I got to get these bananas and these eggs. Wait, I got a driver. Yeah. And I'm going to go to a party tonight and he is going to drive me. I don't have to catch an Uber. Yeah, I could just get in but my nerves are bad because, my son, the speed limit is just it's just information. He has a lead foot, and so be in prayer because the last time I rode with him, I went ahead and wore my Depends because I didn't know how things were going to end. Now, I've got my friend Brian McDaniel joining me. We're going to be talking politics in just a moment. He's here on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Now, Brian, is your daughter driving yet?
Freshman, though I'm excited because she's in the school play. They're doing Les Mis, so I'm going to see her tonight. But okay, she has two older brothers.
Yes,
who it was glorious for me when they were old enough to drive, because then I could say, "Go pick your daughter. Pick your sister up from choir." It was great.
Yes. Okay. So I don't typically ride with Andrew because he doesn't take instruction. Right. I'm like, get over here, slow down, speed up. There's a police up there. Do you see him? Get out of the fast lane. Somebody's coming behind you. Are your lights on? Are you paying attention? You know, so he doesn't like all that. And I like to do all that. And so I typically don't ride with him because he makes my nerves bad. Do you ride with your kids when y'all are going somewhere? Do you allow them to drive you? Because I don't let Andrew drive me.
No, almost never. I like to be in control. But my oldest was a little bit of a speeder, and one time we were driving. He was driving, and we were going through a construction zone. And I pointed out that it said fines for speeding $400 because mm-hmm. we're in a construction zone. And he looks at me, he goes, $400, but they're the ones making us late. So I thought that was pretty funny.
Now, Andrew has that lead foot, and he's gotten a couple of tickets. And so I typically don't ride with him because the last time he took me to the airport, I was like, if I didn't have on my Depends, I would have to go in my luggage and change clothes. It was pretty frightening. So I've ridden. My son has been driving since September. I've ridden with him twice since September. And so tonight I'm going to be going to the Monitors Ball. It's an annual event over at the Hyatt Regency Minneapolis. And it's like the go-to party for black folks in town. Everybody's going to be there. And so I'm going, but I don't want to drive because I know I want to, you know, have me a drink. And so I was going to catch an Uber, but an Uber from Cottage Grove to the Hyatt Regency of downtown Minneapolis is pretty expensive. And so I realized I got a driver. And so I'm gonna roll the dice, Brian. I'm gonna roll the dice.
You know what? You got the Christmas spirit and you're a brave woman.
Now, speaking of bravery, what is going on with the political scene? I want to start national and then go local. Saw a story that Meta is donating $1 million to Donald Trump's inauguration fund. Mika and Joe went down to Mar-a-Lago and caught hell. It seems like all the tables, they are turning, Brian. What's going on?
You know, it's just it never stops watching people embarrass themselves when it comes to Donald Trump. You know, we all have, you know, everyone's got their opinion of Donald Trump, and, you know, a lot of people, you know, for your listeners, they probably know this, but, you know, my background is Republican, but I'm not a Trump guy. You know, watching people in my own party just genuflect to Trump and have him say whatever he wants and have nothing ever kind of have negative consequences. But after this election, this, you know, when he got reelected and didn't become former President Trump, but became President-elect Trump, it seems like even some of the Democrats are starting to, you know, kind of, you know, fear him and bow to him. And, you know, you talked about Joe and Mika. I mean, they embarrassed not only themselves by going down to Mar-a-Lago and kind of kissing the ring, but they embarrassed their whole network. And, you know, it's, you know, the mainstream media really, really is in a tailspin. And I'm even hearing that from people, you know, friends of ours in the mainstream media. And things like this just give people less and less confidence that the information and the news that they're getting is actually news and not just, you know, political entertainment or spin to, you know, kind of get us to argue with each other. It's pretty disheartening because, you know, if Trump's your cup of tea, great. And if he's not, great. But, you know, we as the American people need to, you know, somewhat demand that our institutions not serve the president, but serve the American people. And it doesn't seem like that's happening right this second.
Well, this is the thing that is concerning for me is that, you know, there is a whole movement that, freedom of the press should not be a part of what we do in this country. That, you know, the people who do the work that media does, you know, investigating stories, making sure to hold officials accountable, shining a light on situations that endanger children, making sure that we know who the bad guys are and who to watch out for so that we can keep our families safe, alert. Information, you know, those are some of the things that we need on a regular, routine, daily basis, recalls, those kinds of things. And, you know, people are going to stop trusting the work that we do if they think that we are not going to be informative, impartial, fair, truthful, and that we're not trying to make one person look good or bad, but we're just delivering the facts. And so it just frightens me, because we already have a generation of young people who don't watch the news. You know, they get everything that they want. They get everything that they want from social media. And if it's not on TikTok, then they don't even know about it. And so that makes the work harder, because you don't have the audience. But then you have Mika and Joe kissing the rings, and you have, you know, Fox News out there doing what Fox News does, and everybody trying to figure this thing out. And it just makes it hard for people, number one, to trust the work that we do, but also to believe it and then to share it, so that the news and information that needs to get out there is, in fact, getting to the people who need it.
Well, I mean, we're in a very scary time right now, because it almost feels like even people on the left, that they are so upset by Donald Trump getting reelected that they're almost feeling that if they don't kind of get in line, that they're in trouble. And we can't forget that we have, you know, due process and processes in place that do protect us for the First Amendment and whatnot. But, you know, when you see citizens, you know, gunning down CEOs of corporations they don't like, corporations that didn't even wrong them individually, and then the people celebrating that on the internet, that is scary. You know, when you have, you know, President Biden, you know, he says, well, if Trump is going to pardon his father-in-law, I'm going to pardon my son, even though time and time and time again, he said, and his people said, we are not going to do that. When you have, Joe Biden using the power to pardon 1,500 people, many of which are, you know, some of which it was appropriate, and some of them are, it's payback to political friends. We need to hold the people that are in these positions to higher standards, because right now I think everybody is, not everybody, but a large portion of these people are disappointing us. And we as a society, I had coffee this morning with a state senator, and one of the things that we were talking about was just how, there seems to be this belief that, well, the president of the United States acts inappropriately, so why shouldn't I be able to act that way? And I think that the answer is if you think he is acting inappropriately, that gives you more incentive to take the high road. But because if you're saying, well, I'm as bad as him, well, that's not good. That's not something to be proud of. Mm-hmm. And if people are thinking that way, they need to dispossess themselves of those notions.
Now, you had coffee this morning with the state senator. I was just going to ask you about state politics. We're going to take a quick commercial break. But what is coming up next? Walz is back from the campaign trail. We've got new folks taking offices. We've got not the majority that we had before. Is new legislation going to be passed? Old stuff going to be repealed? Where does Walz stand in all this? I'm going to talk to Brian about that when we come back.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is 1:23. You are listening to the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. Donald Trump is talking about rolling back the clock on daylight savings time, shooting down drones. There's the abortion debate, but Brian McDaniel with Hilden Advocacy and Law is here, and we've got to get to our state politics because Tim Walz is off the campaign trail. He is back. What is the mood like at the state capitol, Brian?
Well, we're in a very weird place. You know, first of all, with Governor Walz not becoming Vice President Walz, he is back in Minnesota, which was not what everyone was thinking. You know, a lot of people were thinking that, you know, Kamala and Walz were going to win, and then, you know, Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan was going to, you know, ascend to be the governor, and you know, the kind of the dominoes falling that way. But now that's not happening. And on top of that, the Minnesota State House is in a 67-67 tie, which means we don't have a Speaker of the House. We have co-speakers. We don't have committee chairs. We have co-committee chairs. And this just impacts every single part of the legislative process. Throw on top of that that the state office building where we house representatives and their staff is under construction, which means that a lot of them don't have staff, they don't have offices, they don't have a place to meet with anybody. So the agenda of the Republicans and the Democrats is kind of up in the air because we have divided government again. And divided government is really bad for passing good things. It's really good for stopping bad things. So I think that it's going to be harder to pass legislation, but it's also going to be easier to kind of stop things that that don't have, you know, bipartisan agreement. So when you think of what's the worst thing that could happen, well, you can't really do it because either the Republicans or the Democrats are going to get in the way of it. And for Governor Walz, you know, he's in a very strange position now because if he wouldn't have run for Vice President, I think he was going to run for a third term as governor because we don't have term limits the way that they do on the federal level. Now that he is back in Minnesota and a little wounded, I mean, not just because you're breaking all of his plates, but for all the other things that we know about, but you know, he's a little wounded right now, and it's unclear if he's going to run again. And, you know, we hear that, you know, Lieutenant Governor Flanagan would like to run for governor. We hear that, you know, Congresswoman Angie Craig is interested in it as well. So, you know, is Walz going to run for a third term? Or, you know, is it going to be perceived that he's standing in the way of, two women that would like to become the first, you know, female governor of the state of Minnesota?
Okay. What about the legislation? Anything coming down the pipe? Something that we need to be looking out for? Anything rumbling there that has folks divided that we need to be aware of? Because, you know, I know every year there is that hot topic, that one thing that, you know, they're trying to pass, you know, for a while it was, you know, free lunches and that, you know, moved through with flying colors again because of the makeup of, you know, the House as well as the Senate, having, you know, all that Democratic leadership and those numbers skewed to the Democrats and, you know, they had the votes that they needed to make sure that that passed.
Well, I think that the other thing, you know, in addition to there being a, you know, a DFL trifecta, we had $18 billion of surplus as well. Now, going into the 2025 legislative session, not only do we have a divided House of Representatives, but the November forecast shows we have a little bit of money extra, a little bit, like $616 million, which...
Just a little bit. That's a little bit. That's not much, huh?
Pretty soon it's going to be real money. But yeah, $616 million of surplus. But as it's economically projected out, we start having billions of dollars of projected deficits. So I think that what this session is going to be all about is it's going to be all about just putting together the next 2 years of the state budget. I think that both Republicans and Democrats are going to be very hesitant to spend a lot of money because there isn't money to spend, unlike the last 2 years. So I think that this is going to be a quieter session. You're not going to see, you know, big things, you know, about reproductive rights. You're not going to see big things with guns or, you know, trans rights or, and, you know, any of the things that might have been considered hot button issues the last 2 years. I think that there is just an acknowledgement that that type of stuff is not going to be able to pass. So I think there's going to be a focus on the budget. I think that a lot of people who received money in the last 2 years now are going to be a little nervous about you know, maybe having to play defense, protecting money that they got. I think it's just going to be a very, very different tone than what we've seen in the past. So it's going to be all the more important that that people are paying attention and being in contact with their elected officials to not just make sure that good things pass, but also to make sure that good things that might have passed in the last 2 years aren't rolled back.
Okay, here you got to explain something to me. We're talking to Brian McDaniel with Hilden Advocacy and Law, a political expert here on the Shaletta Show. He's joining us courtesy of the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. How in the hell do we have all this money now? I know you said it's a little bit, but when you start saying billions with a B and millions with an M, that means something to regular people. That's a lot of money to us, right? I keep seeing these stories and I'm hearing you said, how do we have money now, but we know in 2 years we're not going to have no money? That don't make no sense. If I have money now, I ought to be able to save some so that I'm not broke or in a deficit in the next 2 years.
Well, and I think that that's exactly what is it needs to happen and will happen. I think that, you know, that there has been a lot of spending. And, you know, if you're one of those people that, you know, had a program that you care about that got money, then you're going to be saying, well, you know, that's good. I like that they spent money on something that I care about. But remember, let's not forget, what is a surplus? This is not the government's money. This is your money, Shaletta. This is my money. So anytime you hear of a surplus, that's not necessarily something to be celebrated. That's saying that the government has overtaxed us and they're holding on to our money. And if they spend that money, even if it's on good programs, well, when we have an economic downturn, and remember, the business cycle, it's up and it's down. We have surpluses, we have deficits, we have good times and bad. We are entering into a time that is looking like it's not going to be as economically rosy as what we had, and if all of a sudden we as a state need money, well, the only way to do that is to raise taxes, and that's something that is politically tough to do. And, you know, the Democrats are going to be, you know, they're up for election in 2 years, the same as Republicans, and they don't want to be the party that spent $18 billion in surplus and then had to come back and ask for more. So they're in a very politically precarious spot. Republicans, who, you know, normally are the party that doesn't like to spend a lot of money anyway, they're in a little bit of a better position because they're going to be able to say, all right, we had $18 billion extra of your money. Where is it? And now they need more. So it's, this is just, you know, basic economics. And I think that there is an acknowledgement by both parties that that there's just not the ability to overspend, which you might argue happened the last 2 years. We still have a ginormous budget. So it's not like, we're not entering a time of austerity yet. But if we don't get a handle on the spending, then we're going to be in a bad position.
Well, that was some really good explanation, because now I understand it. It didn't make sense to me. It does now. And I can't thank you enough for taking some time out of your Saturday to come and hang out with me. Again, we're talking to Emmy Award winning political analyst Brian McDaniel with Hilden Advocacy and Law right here on the Shaletta Show.
Hilden has become now Momentum Advocacy. So
yes, congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you.
Been hiring up all the good people. I said, hell, he didn't hire everybody but me. Every time I look up, y'all got a new person. Okay, so what is Momentum? You got to tell me what happened with the name change and all the rebranding. I need the scoop.
Yes. Well, I'll be very quick. Nancy Hilden, who has been our fearless leader since 2016, she is retiring. So she and her family are going to be taking some much-needed time off and travel and all that good stuff. And my colleague Amy Koch and I have taken over the business. We have rebranded as Momentum Advocacy. And we're adding people, and we're not even done yet. We would hire you in a second, but we can't afford you.
You're very expensive. Talk about overspending. I'm telling you, they would put you out of that. They will put you out of that. Well, congratulations, my friend.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, you. I'm excited to see what you're doing and all the cool people you're hiring and the business that you're building. And I'm sure the Hilden family is so grateful that their legacy lives on through the work that you and Amy are doing. And I can't wait to hang out with you. We're doing Black Entrepreneurs Day at the Capitol again on February 3rd. So that's gonna be fun.
I cannot wait. We had a great meeting on Friday, and I am excited. I talked to Comcast today about all the good things we get to do to help out.
Hey, Comcast. Hey, Momentum. It's so exciting. And then I talked to Nancy Lyon with Clockwork. They're in again this year. Hello. We are getting the gang back together.
Running it back.
I'm running back. All right, we're going to run back to these commercial breaks. And then when we come back, we're going to be talking more about how you can be more environmentally friendly this holiday season. Stick around. There's more to come on the Shaletta Show.